God is good, and His mercy endures forever. It certainly is a privilege and an honor to be able to come together this morning to fellowship with one another and to worship our God, who is good to us, not just some of the time, but all the time. God is good, and no matter what we go through in life, we can always rely on our Father in heaven to be with us. And what a joy it is to be able to come out and to worship this morning. I want to share with you something that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I was working out over at Exogen. And yes, believe it or not, I do work out. And I was biking that day. I got into biking for a couple of weeks. Not biking anymore. But that particular day, I think I did about 10 or 15 miles. I was just in the mood to get on the bike. And so as I was working out, there was a teacher from Vincent Middle School. And he got on the bike next to me. As you guys know, or at least many of you know, Max and I, we go to Vincent Middle School every Wednesday. And we have the wonderful privilege of being able to teach the Bible to young children. And so when this teacher got on the bike next to me, we began to talk about some of the work at Vincent Middle School, and he was really just commending what we do there. And naturally, that led to a Bible discussion. And I shared with him a book that I just got done reading. This book was actually written by a preacher, and the preacher was talking about heaven and hell. And the preacher said that when people go to hell, one day, even though they start in hell, one day they're going to be able to move up into heaven. And I was just sharing some passages from the Bible and telling him that that simply is not the case. And he asked me the question, so do you believe that people are going to be able to move up from hell to heaven? And I said, no, that's not how that's going to work. When people die, their fate is sealed, whether they end up in heaven or in hell. And he responded by saying, oh, so you're on that side of the fence. And what he meant by that was that, I guess, I actually believe what Jesus says in the Bible about hell being a place of everlasting punishment. I shared with him many passages. Matthew 25, verse 46 is a great example, where Jesus talked about a place of everlasting punishment and a place of eternal life. And I said, yeah, I'm on that side of the fence. But I was intrigued by his response, because just a few moments ago, or moments earlier, he was commending the work that Max and I do, the fact that we teach the Bible, that we teach people about Jesus and what he has to say. And I know for a fact that this teacher is a religious man. He goes to church. But yet when it comes to what Jesus said about a particular thing, in this case hell, he seemed to have a difficult time accepting what the Bible says. And my question is, why is it? Why is it that so many people who are religious-minded, they read their Bibles, they go to church, they profess to be Christians, why is it that so many people can be religious-minded yet still may not always accept what God or what Christ has to say? You know, it sounded like what this man was saying when he said, I'm on that side of the fence. It seemed like he was implying that my belief about hell being a place of eternity, or in a place of eternal punishment, that I was on the wrong side of the fence. But ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is, those who don't believe what God has to say in His Word, they are on the wrong side of the fence. Question is, what about us? When it comes to hell, and listen, I don't like talking about hell. We don't really talk about it over the dinner table or at the dinner table or at work. It's not a fun topic to discuss, but what about us when it comes to hell or baptism or how we worship or marriage or moral issues? Ladies and gentlemen, which side of the fence are we on? Are we on God's side or man's side? And when I say God's side, that's the idea. Do we believe what God actually says in His Word about these issues? Or are we on man's side? I will tell you that there are many reasons why some people end up on the wrong side of the fence. But for the sake of time, this morning I want us to look at three reasons why some end up on the wrong side of the fence. And these reasons that we're going to discuss this morning, my friends, we have to avoid them at all costs. We must avoid them so that we can end up on the right side of the fence, God's side. One reason why so many people end up on the wrong side of the fence is because some fail to read the Bible. I will tell you, with the age that we're living in now, so many people today are biblically illiterate. We have so much technology, Bible on our computers, on our phones, on our iPads. But yet, so few people actually read the Bible. So few people actually know what the Bible actually says. I found a couple of surveys a couple of years ago, or a survey that was done a couple of years ago, and the survey asked some people who profess to be Christians some basic Bible questions. And one man was asked this question. The question was, what is the first book of the Bible? And the man responded by saying, Testament. Now, we understand that the first book of the Bible is not Testament, okay? The first book of the Bible is Old Testament, okay? In all seriousness, we know that's not the first book of the Bible either, but you get the point. It's Genesis, by the way. But the survey went on to say that 60% of Americans cannot give at least cannot name at least five of the Ten Commandments and don't know the names of the Gospels in the New Testament. 22% of those who profess to be Christians believe that while Jesus was on earth, he sinned. Do you understand the ramification of that? Look at John chapter 1 and verse number 29. If that is true, and by the way, it is not true. Jesus did not sin while he was on earth. But if it was true that Jesus sinned when he was on earth, then ladies and gentlemen, we are in deep trouble. Because the Bible teaches us in John chapter 1 and verse number 29, when John the Baptist one day saw Jesus coming to him, the Bible says that John cried out and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus came to take away the sin of the world. And if it's true that Jesus sinned while he was in the world, then when he died on the cross, he did not die for the sin of the world. He died for his own sin. And that means that we are still lost and without hope in our sin. Another survey I found said that many Christians or those who profess to be Christians do not believe that Satan nor the Holy Spirit actually exist. Serious ramifications for those who believe that. But why is it that so many people believe this way? It's because people are failing to read their Bibles. But yet this is what God calls us to do. This is what he wants us to do. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 13. We are reminded, Paul reminds us what he told that young Christian Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 13. Paul said, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Paul was emphasizing to that young Christian, you need to read the book. Study the Scriptures. There are some things that you need to know. Later on in 2 Timothy, turn over a couple of pages in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Paul reminds him again after he wrote him a second time. He said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Paul kept urging this Christian, you have to study the Scriptures. You need to read the word of God. Now, when we talk about reading and studying, it's often we say that we need to read and study so that we can grow and mature in our faith with Jesus. And while all that is true, the point I'm trying to make is that we need to read because there are just some things that we need to know. Brothers and sisters, as a Christian, there are some basic things that we must know. I'm reminded of the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah cried out and he said, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not a man that walketh to direct his steps." As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to know that we cannot make it on this side of life with our own wisdom. We need God and his direction. Proverbs 14 and verse 12, Solomon said, "There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We need to know that just because a way looks right may not be the right way. You remember what Jesus said in John 8 and verse number 32? "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But we're not going to know the truth unless we read. Look over in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And notice with me what John wrote as he was encouraging the saints. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13, John reminded them of something that they needed to know. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. We need to know that heaven is awaiting us, that heaven is on the other side, and that we can be there one day. My friends, no one is able to come to Jesus Christ unless they know some things about Him. Look over in John chapter 6 and verse number 45. Remember the words of Jesus here in John chapter 6 and verse number 45. Jesus emphasized this point of knowing some things. In John chapter 6 and verse number 45, Jesus said, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." The point is, we've got to know some things. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16, in verse 30, 31, and 32, when he cried out to Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." But before he could believe, he had to hear some things. He had to learn some things. He had to know some things about Jesus. And the point that we need to hold on to is that if we're going to end up on the right side of the fence, if we're going to hold on to truth, if we're going to be led in the right direction, we have to open up our Bibles. We have to read, and we have to know some things. You see, the danger when people fail to read, and I know this is not an earth-shattering point for the majority of us here, but even some of the basic things in a Christian's walk at times can be some of the most difficult things, opening up our Bibles on a regular basis. But when we fail to open up the Word of God, we are setting ourselves up to be deceived. It's sad that so many Christians will allow their views about Jesus and about sin and about heaven and about hell to be shaped not by the Holy Spirit and His words, but by pop culture, but by someone who is popular in society. It's a shame before God that so many times Christians, if not careful, can allow their views about God and His nature to be shaped by Oprah instead of the Word of God. Too many times, if Christians are not careful, Christians can have their views about homosexuality shaped by those in the world instead of God's Word. And that's why so many people end up on the wrong side of the fence, because they fail to read the Bible. And so our job is to make sure that we open up the Bible, study it, and know some things. And when we do, we'll end up on the right side, God's side. Reading is fundamental. But I will say that sometimes reading is not a problem for many people. Sometimes people end up on the wrong side of the fence because while they're reading, they fail to understand. The man I was telling you about at the gym who I was working out with, we were talking about the Bible, and he said, "You know, the Bible is just mysterious. Many things in the Bible we just can't understand." And it was almost as if he was fascinated with the mysterious nature of the Bible. He said, "God is mysterious." And I guess that's the great thing about it. We really, you know, we can read, but we really may not always understand. Well, there are some times where reading something in the Word of God may be challenging for us. Look over in Psalm 90 and verse 2. You remember from our Bible reading last year what Moses said about God in Psalm 90 and verse number 2. Psalm 90 and verse number 2. The Bible says in Psalm 90 and verse number 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world," Moses said, "even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." I will tell you, it is challenging sometimes to comprehend the fact that God is everlasting to everlasting. The idea that God has no beginning, that God has no end, that He always is. It's challenging for us because we're in time. Everything is measured by time. How long is a preacher going to preach this morning? We measure everything by time. Someone's birthday, someone's anniversary, holidays, everything is measured by time. But with God, He's outside of time. He's eternal. And while that may be challenging for us to understand, we got to make sure that we don't go to the extreme. Because the extreme is, you see, we can't understand anything about the Bible. We can read it all we want, but we'll never be able to understand. And brothers and sisters, that simply is not the case. Think about what God has done. Look over in John 12. In John 12, in verse 48, let's remember the words of Jesus here. In John 12, in verse number 48, this is a passage that all of us should hold on to. In John 12, in verse number 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. Brothers and sisters, when we stand before God on the judgment day, we're going to be judged from the word of God. This is going to be the standard by which we're going to be judged. And why would it be that God would give us a book, the standard by which all of us will be judged, and yet give us a book that we can't understand? You see, that just doesn't add up. We can read the Bible and we can understand the Bible. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, as Paul was talking about the revelation that God had given to him, or that the Holy Spirit had given to him, Paul shows us what he did with that revelation. In Ephesians chapter 3, and beginning at verse number 3, Paul said, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Paul said that he received revelation from the Holy Spirit. And with the revelation, he wrote it down so that people could read it and that people could do what? Understand it. And that's the point. We can understand the Bible. God has given us a book that we can comprehend, that we can understand, and that we can follow. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul later on would go on and say, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." You see, we can understand God's word, and we can end up on the right side of the fence. We can follow God's will. We can know the things that we need to know to make it to heaven. We can understand the book. But I will say that many people, they read, but they fail to understand. But it's not because God has given us a book that we can't comprehend. You see, one of the reasons why people end up on the wrong side of the fence, because they read, but they don't understand. And they don't understand because they have preconceived notions, they have biases, they have particular doctrines or traditions that they follow, and that causes them to get in the way of understanding plain and simple truth. This is an example, or there's an example in the days of Jesus. Look over in Matthew 22, beginning at verse number 23. In Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse number 23, Jesus was approached by some individuals. He was approached by the Sadducees. And the Sadducees believed that there was no resurrection, but they wanted to ask Jesus a question. And it appears that they asked him a question not to really learn truth or to understand, but to potentially entrap Jesus. In Matthew 22 and verse 23, the Bible says, "The same day, the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him and asked him, saying, 'Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to each brother. They eventually died, and the woman eventually married the next brother.'" In verse 28, the Bible says, "Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her." Notice what Jesus said next. "Jesus answered and said to them, 'You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given to marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.'" The Sadducees, the reason why they could not understand plain teaching, the writings of Moses, was because they had their own preconceived notions. They placed more emphasis on their core beliefs as Sadducees than on what God actually said. Jesus made it clear to them that the writings in the Old Testament makes it clear that there will be a resurrection. They read the scriptures. They claimed to be experts in the Word of God. Their problem was not reading. Their problem was that when they read, they failed to understand. And that was because they allowed things to get in the way. And brothers and sisters, this is what we must avoid at all cost. You see, many people today have the same problem. And if we're not careful, we can be just like the Sadducees too. Sometimes people are more committed to a particular doctrine or more committed to a particular tradition than the scriptures. They read the Bible. They read the same book that we read, but yet at the same time, they may not understand what God has said for them. And we have to make sure that we avoid that too. It is the case that sometimes people are more committed to what their parents have followed, to what their parents may teach, than what Jesus has to say in the Word of God. And when you try to teach people the plain teaching of Jesus, they often say, well, you just don't understand. That's not what it says. But ladies and gentlemen, we can read the book and we can know what Jesus wants us to believe and follow. This idea about heaven and hell, no one seems to make a big fuss about heaven. No one seems to make a big fuss about the fact that heaven is going to be a place of eternity. When we read passages like John 14, that God has prepared a place for us, that Jesus is going to come back again so that we can be with him one day, no one seems to have a problem with passages like that. But when it comes to hell, no, we can't understand that passage. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse number 43. Sometimes when you tell people about what Jesus says about these important issues like hell, they throw back in your face, well, listen, you just believe that because it's a Church of Christ doctrine. This idea of hell being a place of eternity, you just believe it because that's your church doctrine. Wrong, my friend. I don't believe it because of some church doctrine. I believe it because it's what Jesus says. Mark 9 and verse number 43, the Bible says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life lame rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Jesus can be more clear that there is a place called hell and that those who go to hell will be there for eternity. But when you try to show people this, they say, no, you just believe that because it's the church doctrine. No, we believe it. I believe it because it's what Jesus said. People often say, well, you just believe that baptism is for the remission of sins because that's the Church of Christ doctrine. Yeah, that's why you believe that, right? No, I believe it because it's what Jesus taught. Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then they'll say, no, that's your interpretation. I didn't interpret anything. I just told you what Jesus said. You see, people can read the Bible and still not understand it. It's not God's fault. Because he said that we can read the book and that we can understand it. The point for us, brothers and sisters, is that it's often the case that it's our attitudes, it's our biases, it's our likes and dislikes. I don't like talking about hell. I don't like to think about family members or friends or loved ones who may be in hell one day. And if we're not careful, we can allow our biases and likes and dislikes to get in the way of plain and simple truth. And when that happens, my friend, we will end up on man's side. We will end up on the wrong side of the fence. And we cannot allow that to happen. We can read. We can understand what the book says. And when we do that, push everything else aside, we'll end up on the right side of the fence, God's side. But some fail to read. Some read, but they fail to understand. Let me give you one last reason why some end up on the wrong side of the fence. Some understand, but they simply fail to believe. I think this is so dangerous, so important that we avoid this at all costs. Look over in John chapter 12, some scary verses in John chapter 12. This idea of people who understand what the book says, but simply refuse to believe, is a danger for all of us. In John 12, in verse number 37, there were some people in the days of Jesus, as Jesus was making his way to the cross, who had this problem. John 12, verse 37, but although he, talking about Jesus, had done so many signs before them, John saying the signs that Jesus did before them, he's talking about the miracles, all the miracles and wonders and signs that Jesus had done before him, they saw it, they witnessed it, But the Bible says they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. John says that they did not believe, and then they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. You see the problem? They saw the power of Jesus. They saw who he was. It was not a problem of understanding. My friends, it's a problem of a stubborn heart. Had the truth right in front of them. They heard the words of Jesus, all the signs of Jesus. Yet because of this wicked kind of heart, they rejected truth. And that's the danger for all of us. When we get to this point, we're going to end up on the wrong side of the fence. And sadly, this is happening to a lot of people. You know, I've heard people say some scary things. Maybe you've heard someone say this before. I have heard people say, I know what the Bible says, but I guess I will be wrong. I've heard someone say, I know what the Bible teaches about this, but I guess God will just have to forgive me. Sometimes people say, I know what the Bible instructs us to do, but I just don't want to change. You know what that problem, their problem is? It's a stubborn heart. And it's scary because they're going to end up on the wrong side of the fence. They're going to believe something that's not true. They're going to go down a path that's not the right way. And the scary thing about it is that when people begin to have a stubborn heart, if they're not careful, they may continue to go down that path and be lost forever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 10. The Apostle Paul reminds us that there are some who reject the truth. And listen, if we decide that we want to reject the truth, like these people in John chapter 12 did, they saw the power of Jesus, yet they rejected the truth. You know what God's going to do? He will allow us to go down that path. He'll allow us to do whatever we want to do. He'll allow us to believe whatever we want to believe. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's the idea, that God will allow them to go down whatever path they want to. And that is a scary thing when we reject, when we understand what the Bible says, well, we simply just fail to believe it. That type of attitude will put us on the wrong side of the fence. We need to make sure that we're on the right side of the fence. We need to be on God's side this morning. And the question that I began with this morning is, which side of the fence are we on? And that's the question I want to conclude with today. What side of the fence are we on? When it comes to heaven, I think we all know which side of the fence we're on. But when it comes to hell, which side of the fence are we on? When it comes to baptism for the remission of sins, which side of the fence are we on? When it comes to our marriages and morality, which side of the fence will we be on? When it comes to worship, how we worship, our hearts, our attitudes, which side of the fence will we be on? We can't be on both sides. We got to make a choice. Go back to John 12 real quick. This is my last passage. We saw some individuals who did not believe. But yet in verse number 42 and 43, we see another group of people. In John 12 and verse 42, the Bible says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Interesting. These people believed the signs. But yet they still were not on God's side. Because they were not willing to confess his name. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. My friends, they would be in the same boat as those who did not believe, yet had all the evidence. The warning for us is that we can't be on both sides. We have to decide which side of the fence are we going to be on. We need to make a commitment that we are going to be on God's side, the right side. And when we do, we'll have blessings forevermore. Choose wisely, because whatever side we choose to be on, there will be eternal consequences. Maybe there's someone here this morning who recognizes that Jesus is the Son of God, but yet you have not made that decision to give your life over to Him. Are you ready to repent of your sins? Is there someone here this morning who's ready to be on the right side of the fence? If you're ready to be saved, if you're ready to become a member of the church you can read about in the Bible, we want to encourage you to come forward right now, give your life over to God while we stand and while we sing.